Ain't that good? Psalm 11. I'm glad God specializes in impossible things. Just stand with me. We'll read together. I'll let you be seated in a moment. Y'all ready for preaching?
Yes, sir.
Amen. At my home church at Love Valley, preacher get up. He'll say, it's preaching time. And that's what about 100 people say right there. Hallelujah. Preach, preacher, preach. Amen. Amen. They just get excited about it. All right? So it's preaching time.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's better. Psalm 11, verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord tryeth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked He shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Father, we come to You this evening again in the name above every name, the lovely name of Jesus tonight. Thankful we can pray, thankful in the house of prayer we've been able to call upon the name of the Lord this evening with the saints of God. Hear our prayer, O God, we pray. Lift our burdens, take our cares, and Lord, tonight help You people. God, we do ask this evening as we come this time of preaching and studying the Word of God. Lord, You laid it on our hearts, Lord, the beginning of the year, just begin preaching through the Psalms. And Lord, it's amazed us already. Lord, just seem like each week it just falls in line. There's a word from heaven. God, I pray tonight You'd encourage Your children, Lord, in the things of God. Lord, we understand that we live in a wicked day. Lord, a day, Lord, that is very immoral. And Lord, there is no morals. There is no decency. Lord, seems to be lawlessness, Lord, as it relates to men and women and boys and girls' relationship to God. And I pray, God, tonight, help us, Lord, to learn what we can do, Lord, in these last days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to encourage you out of Psalm 11 this evening as we come to this. It is a Psalm of David. The Bible said to the chief musician, a Psalm of David is the heading of this psalm. And so it's the psalmist David that is penning this, I believe, from his heart. Some believe that David penned this psalm in the time of his conflicts with Saul, but in my study, I believe, and you can probably flip a coin on this, but I lean more toward that David penned this psalm at a time, more likely during the time of Absalom's rebellion. It's a psalm that is interested in, evidently, some trials and enemies and battles that are going on. He said in verse 2, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, and they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. And so, I believe this evening David has in mind, or a backdrop behind this psalm would be David having in mind Absalom and the enemies of David rising up and rebelling against his authority, rebelling against his kingdom, and literally running David out of town. And when we come to this passage, notice with me in this psalm, David is encountering these enemies in verse 2. But I believe that he's concerned with the foundations being destroyed. In verse 3, notice this verse. I know it's a familiar verse. I've heard it preached on in camp meetings, revival meetings, and men read this one verse and they'll tear off on a tangent. But I want to deal with this psalm in light of the context of what David says. Notice what he said in verse number 3. He said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so he's concerned with in this psalm the foundation or foundations being destroyed. A word used here for foundations literally means a basis or ground for standing. He's saying, what are we going to do when the grounds we have to stand on have been corrupted and have been decayed and have been compromised? What are the righteous going to do? This word foundations figuratively speaks political or moral support. In other words, it deals with a ground that God's children, that ground that the nations ought to be standing upon, the law of God, the law of decency, a law of morality. David is saying, what are we going to do when the foundations of morality have been taken away? Can I say in 2014, I believe we're living in that hour and that generation. David's looking around and David sees lawlessness. He sees men that are not honoring God. They're not honoring what's right. They're not doing what's right. They're just living any way that they want to live. And David said, he said, if the foundations be destroyed. It seems that David is stating that it is possible for the earthly foundations of morality and decency to be corrupted and to crumble, my friend, all around us. And we're seeing that happen in our day. And I can list probably just like that about a dozen things. And even in America tonight, we're saying that, my friend, morals decay on every hand. Amen. We got drunkenness. We got sodomy. We got fornication. We've got sensual living. We got fleshly living. Amen. We got drug dealing and drug use. We got, amen, people addicted to prescription pills. And, I mean, everywhere you look, there is a decaying and a corrupting of the foundations of morality. And if you're a saint, born-again child of God, and of the number of the righteous, and that, friend, it bothers you and it troubles you. And my friend, we look around, it vexes our saved, redeemed soul, and wondering what in the world are we going to do in such a wicked land. And listen, there's nothing we can do to stop it. It's going to happen. Amen. I wish there was. I wish we hit folk and had them a 2x4 and make them do right. But it don't work that way. And David's looking around. He sees the enemy raising up. He sees the enemy setting himself against David. And David said the real problem is the foundations have been destroyed and the righteous sit around wondering, what in the world are we going to do when these foundations are being taken away? And I say tonight, nothing we can do to stop it. Nothing this evening we can do necessarily to fix it. Amen. But when we study this psalm, I think there are several things that are implied in this psalm that many end up doing. I'll give this to you by way of introduction. I think that there's some people around David encouraging David or doing some things around David that we ought not to do. Watch this with me. We'll say parallels in our day. Notice what he said in verse number 1. He said, I'll say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. And David asks the question in verse 3, what can the righteous do? And there's evidently a crowd of friends. I believe the mean well, Sister Betty, I believe they have concern for David. They say, David, what you need to do in this time of trouble is just flee on up out of here. And I want to say that, my friend, this psalm implies that there are some that flee when the foundations are destroyed and trouble comes and the enemy rises up. And there's some that may have friend flee. There were some telling David, just throw in the towel, run away from your problems, get away as far away in the mountains as you can from your trouble. And that friend, we're seeing that in this hour in which you and I live. There's some, that friend, that are quitting on every hand. There are preachers that have got fed up when the foundations being destroyed, and my friend, they've thrown in the towel and they've compromised and they have quit. And my friend, what have they done? They've literally fled. They're on the run tonight rather than staying in the faith. And David said, there are some that have been encouraging me, and I would flee to the mountain as a bird. Amen. Flee as a bird to your mountain. And I say to them, we ought not be fleeing church. Amen. We ought not be on the run unless, amen, it's from from youthful lust and sin. Amen. Friend, we ought to be standing up and fighting in 2014. Amen. And not be involved in the number that is fleeing. Some flee when the foundation be destroyed. And then there's some that fear. Look with me in verse 2. The Bible said, for lo, the wicked bend their bow and make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Now, David is saying, listen, what's he telling me is, and I need to flee on up out of here as a bird to the mountain, because all you say is the enemy that's sitting there, and they've got their bow drawn, and they've setting their sights upon me, and they have aimed toward those that want to do right, the upright in heart. Amen. They're just any time now getting ready. Let a shout go that's going to do us in. Amen. What is David saying? I think David is in prayer. And David knows the enemy is out there, and that this crowd is invited into flight because they are afraid. There's some that flee, and there's some that fear. Can I say? Amen. You can do that tonight. David asked the question, what can the righteous do? What are you going to do when the foundation be destroyed? What are you going to do when trouble arises? What are you going to do when the enemy raises up? Amen. Some, my friend, flee, and then some fear, some cower down. Amen. The fearing the intentions and the inventions that the enemy has designed for them. And I say fear, my friend, is a tactic of the enemy to get you an ad to. Amen. Wax faint in the battle. Amen. Can I say we ought not fear? We've been taught and commanded, my friend, over and over in the Word of God. Amen. Fear not. Fear not. Thou shalt not be afraid. And yet in 2014, there's a many of God's children. And my friend, they fear to the point that, and if they don't have anything to fear, they're still afraid. Amen. They're worried, batting their nails down, pulling their hair out, growing ulcers in their stomach, and afraid of the days in which we live. Amen. I've got some family members. I got one particular in-law this evening. Amen. And God bless her. She's sweet as she can be. She's the kind, if she don't have anything to worry about, she's worried. Amen. She's worried about not having anything to worry about. Amen. Listen, God had not called us unto fear. Amen. But to be sober-minded, and to rise and be faithful unto God no matter what the days we live in. My friend, bring our way. And so what can the righteous do? You can flee if you want to. You can quit on God if you want to. You can quit on old-time religion if you want to. You can quit on the church if you want to. Amen. David said, some flee when the foundations be destroyed. David said, some fear. And we can do that. We can sit around and we can talk about how bad it is and work ourselves up. And my friend, I mean turn our hairs wet. Amen. And grow ulcers and go out of our mad and depress ourselves and leave here tonight afraid of, amen, afraid that there's a boogeyman behind every door. Amen. And a devil behind every window. Amen. David said some knew that. Some fear when the foundations be destroyed. But notice with me at Psalm 11, verses 4 down through verse number 7, it appears to me that David is bringing some reminders about the Lord. And that would imply to me that some have forgotten. Amen. Can I say to that? And when the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Some flee and some fear. And then I'm afraid some forget. Amen. David is telling them, listen, we serve the Lord. We have a God that we can trust. And begins to magnify it. Amen. To this crowd, as they have forgotten that, he's reminding them who the Lord really is. And I say to that, I'm afraid that many of us, when we look around and see the nature of the day and the hour that we live in, and my friend, we forget who the Lord really is. Amen. We forget how big that he really is. Amen. We begin to magnify it. Trouble in the day, the battle in the day, the issues of the day. Amen. The enemy we fight. Hey, the crowd that's against us. Amen. We make them out to be so large and so big. And David comes in on the scene, and he said, I think some of y'all's forgotten. forgotten just how big and mighty and in control our God really is. Amen. I don't want to be in that number. Amen. That forgets who the Lord really is. You ain't forgot, have you? Amen. I'm going to tell you, look around this hour and this generation. Amen. You'll get depressed out of your mind seeing, amen, not just in the world, but the condition, amen, of many churches and many so-called Christians. And how, my friend, the foundations, it seems like, are eroding away even within the realms of religion. Amen. If you're not careful, we'll, amen, look at that and we'll begin to flee and we'll begin to fear and we'll begin to forget who God really is, and we'll make more of the foundations that have been destroyed than the God that's still in heaven. Amen. We'll see it here in a moment, but God's still on the throne. Amen. Listen, and I understand things are bad, and I understand there's ditches on both sides. I'm not talking about tonight, amen, putting their head in the sand and acting like there ain't no problems, but on the other end, the other ditch, I'm afraid many of us have gotten in our circles here, amen, we just want to focus in on how bad it is, how folk ain't living for God, how folk ain't what they ought to be. Amen. David's saying, I think you've forgotten that. Yeah, it's bad, and yeah, the enemy rages, and yes, the battle is, my friend, in a very heated way, but he's saying, listen, you have forgotten who the Lord is, and understand, my friend, that the Lord's still in heaven. The Lord's still doing everything the Lord's always done, and we'll see in a moment the Lord's got it all under control. Amen. So, amen, don't put your head in the sand, but at the same time, amen, don't be a part of the crowd who forgets God. Some flee, some fear, some forget. Notice, I think David made up his mind in this psalm as he listens to this crowd. He begins, my friend, to look at the crowd that's fleeing and the crowd that's fearing and the crowd that's forgetting. David opens his psalm stating his faith in the Lord. Notice how this psalm begins. He said, in the Lord put I my trust. In other words, David is saying, I don't know what anybody else is going to do. I don't know who's going to flee before all this gets turned around and changes. And I don't know who's going to cower down in fear and sit on the sideline. And I don't know who else is going to, amen, sit around and make more of the issues than they do God. But I've made up my mind that in the Lord, I am going to put my trust. Amen. Notice with me that word trust that is used here. It's a word that literally means to confide in or to flee to. Amen. Listen, there's a crowd telling David, you need to flee to the mountains. You need to flee, amen, to somewhere where you can feel like, and it's all going to be all right, and it's all going to be safe. You need to find you some temporal location that you can hide yourself away in. David said, I'm not fleeing to any mountain. I'm not putting my trust in a cave. I'm not putting my trust in a doctor. I'm not putting my trust in a medication. I'm not putting my trust in a family member. I'm not putting my trust in anywhere I can run to in a physical nature. And he said, I will trust in the Lord. I will hide in Him. I will run to Him. And I will believe that God will take care of me. And I say tonight that, friend, listen now, listen to our thought. And my message title or thought this evening is simply the words of David. If the foundations be destroyed, if the foundations be destroyed, David said, amen, what are we going to do? What is the crowd that's saved and wants to do right? What are they going to do? Can I say tonight, amen, before I give you the meat of my message this evening, what the righteous can do is still do right. It's always right to do right. Bob Jones Sr., you've heard the quote. Amen. Was quoted as saying, if the stars fall, do right. Amen. It doesn't matter what goes on with Danny in this world. It doesn't matter what I go home to. It doesn't matter what I face this week. It doesn't matter what the world throws my way. It matters not the fiery darts of the devil that are flung my direction. A righteous man, free undead, can still do right in any situation. Just do right. Just do right. But above doing right, my friend, listen, in many days we do right and we still wonder what in the world, how in the world am I going to make it? How in the world, you ever felt like that? Ever felt like, man, in a generation where, amen, nearly 7 out of 10 marriages end in divorce, how in the world is me and my family going to make it? Have you ever sat around and looked, friend, at the percentage of children that grow up in church and live, friend, wind up running the world and living a wicked, rebellious, reprobate life, and sit back as a parent thinking, what can I do? How in the world can I raise children in this generation that when they get 21 years old still love God and are still serving Him in church? What can we do? Amen. Sometimes I look around, Brother Tim, and I see preachers here, man, preachers falling, preachers far greater than me. And I sit back and I think, dear God, if they didn't make it, how can I make it? What can the righteous do? Amen. As a church, we look, my friend, all across our land, there are buildings, my friend, that have names on the outside of the building that are landmarks that at one time were spiritual giants that tonight have compromised, they have given up. Amen. Their churches are filled with liberalism. Amen. And corrupted doctrine. Amen. They are but a shell of the old time religion they used to preach. We look at that and we think, how in the world can we make it? What are the righteous to do when the foundations are destroyed? Well, we're going to do right. Man, friend, above that, what's going to help us? David said, in the Lord put I my trust. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to cling to God. I'm going to run to God. I'm going to hang on to God. I'm going to make sure that God is the one that I put my trust in. And I say above doing right, we must have a deep-rooted faith, Sister Kathy, that God did. Amen. Is one that we can trust. I can't trust my flesh. And as much as I love him and I have respect for him, I can't even trust Jerry. I can't trust Gerald. I can't trust Betty. I can't trust Joe. I can't trust Dean. I can't trust the Joneses. Are you listening to me? My trust and my faith must go beyond those in this realm and go beyond those of the earthly world and get focused in on heaven and understand I can make it, but I must put my trust in the Lord. What can the righteous do? Real quick, I'll give them to you quick. I got to trust in the Lord. What can I trust? Number one, you need to remember to trust in the position of the Lord. He comes through verse 1, they say, you ought to flee. He comes through verse 2, he said, there's something that's making me try to fear. He said in verse number 3, in the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's some that have forgotten. He said, but I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. Now what did he say? He said, the Lord is in his holy temple. Is that what it said? The Lord's throne is in heaven. The implication there is that David is going to trust in the Lord. Specifically, his trust is in the fact, amen, that the Lord has a position in heaven that David can trust. David looks around, he sees those that have fallen and those that have destroyed the foundations. He hears a friend of some that are fearing. He sees some are fleeing. He perceives that some have forgot. Then he looks to heaven, he said, well, there's one I can trust. He's in heaven and he's on his throne. And I say tonight, that's why, amen, we ought to trust in the Lord and trust specifically in the position of the Lord. Understand that. And He is in a lofty position. Understand, David is being run off the throne. David, my friend, is having his crown taken away. David, my friend, is not interested, amen, in the position that he has lost, but he puts his trust in the position of the Lord who remains faithful. He said the Lord is in His holy temple. Amen. The Lord's throne is in heaven. In other words, He is in a lofty position. Amen. I can trust Him because He is above all. Amen. There's no higher God to trust in. There's no greater deity that you can put confidence in. There's no greater God there in heaven or in earth. And my friend, you can believe that. David said, I'm going to trust Him, man, and remembers to trust in the position as it's lofty. It don't get any higher than the Lord that dwells in the holy temple atop Mount Zion. I preached this some weeks ago in our worship series on holiness. You understand, He's a holy God. Sitting in a holy temple, dwelling on a holy throne that dwells on a holy hill. And listen, Isaiah said in Isaiah 6, in the year King Uzziah died, I mean, man, you talk about one that Isaiah loved and had a measure of respect for. Amen. Israel's heart broke him, but Isaiah said, in the middle of all of that going on, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. What? What is he saying? He's saying he's in a lofty position above all. Don't matter how low you get, the Lord's still on the throne. It don't matter how bad it gets, the Lord's still on the throne. It doesn't matter, my friend, what happens in America before the sun gets up tomorrow. When it's all said and done, the Lord reigns upon His throne in a position, amen, of loftiness above all things. He's above all else, above all gods, above all trouble. The things you're under, He's above. The things dragging you down don't affect Him at all. Man, I wish my sinuses weren't draining so bad I'd let loose and scream a while. But Dean, I mean, He's above everything that's trying to drag me low. He's in a position that's lofty, but he's in a position that is looking. Notice what that verse said. He is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Let me get it right. Notice what He said about the Lord's eyes. He said, His eyes, behold, His eyelids tread the children of men. In other words, David is reminding you of that. And if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? David said, I'm going to put my trust in the Lord, in His position, a lofty position, and it's a looking position. The Lord, because of His position, He is watchful and mindful of everything I'm going through. The Lord is beholding everything that you're beholding. He just sees it from the throne point of view. You and I see it from the trouble we're in. He sees it from the throne. We see it as something that is going to bring us down, but the Lord sees it as something He's going to bring us through. He is a God. And my friend looks on. Can I remind you tonight and encourage you this evening, church, that, amen, the Lord is watching all we do and all we face, and He does care what we're going through. Amen. He's not a God that's disinterested. He's not a God looking elsewhere. God sees everything, amen, that troubles you with and bothers you with. The Lord is a God that has a position of looking. His position. Remember to trust in the position of the Lord. Remember this tonight. Trust in the plan of the Lord. Verse 5. Verse 5 says this: the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence is so hated. Notice the word trath. Listen to this. It means to test or investigate. It literally means to prove. I think David is saying the Lord uses these times of trouble to prove us. It is something that the Lord has allowed. It is something the Lord has let touch us. And it is something the Lord is going to use in His plan to make you better than what you really are. And I say tonight, thank God that the Lord does try the righteous out. He does put us to the test. He does use the situations of our world to prove and investigate us. That a Lord, my friend, oftentimes lets these things touch us as a means of making you and I more conformed to the image of Christ. It's His plan. You can trust in His plan. Can I remind you tonight, there's nothing that can touch your life, be it of the devil or this world or an enemy you face, that the Lord does not allow. There is such a thing as a hedge. And thank God for the hedge. Thank God that there is a hedge. There is that hedge of protection that the Lord gives us, that the enemy would love to suck our life out of us, bust up our family, run our children to the world, would love, my friend, to see you and I disappointed and discouraged and fleeing and fearing and forgetting. But David said, in the Lord put out my trust. I'm going to trust that in His plan He has allowed this to touch me. And that in doing so, He is bringing about in His plan and His will something out of my life that's going to make me more than what I am today. You think about, my friend, all the times that you stood on shaky ground and the Lord used it, and you're a better man, a better woman, your family's better because God in His plan tried you with that circumstance. Amen. Hallelujah. If you had known me when I first started preaching, you'd think, man, ain't no way He's ever going to be anything. But you know what? Lord allowed things to touch me that hurt me. He allowed things to touch me that broke my heart. He allowed things to touch me that put a little humility in me. Come on now. He allowed some things to come in, some circumstances. Amen. He allowed some foundations to become unstable in my life. Amen. Why? As a means to get me to quit trusting in the ground I thought that I had. Amen. And get me to trust in the plan of God that He can try me and prove me and bring something good out of me. Thank the Lord I am what I am today because the plan of God has allowed things to touch my life that had it been up to me, I would have avoided. But in God's plan, what can the righteous do? They can just keep trusting, remember to trust in the plan of God. Trust in His position, trust in His plan. Notice what He said. He said there in verse number 6, He said, He shall reign snares. Is that what He said? Upon the wicked He shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. You say, what do you think David's trusting in there? I think David is remembering to trust in the promise of the Lord. The word shall is a strong word. It implies there's nothing that can be done, Brother Will, to break this. God said it, it is going to come to pass. Word shall is a promise word. You ain't going to stop it. The devil ain't going to stop it. The world ain't going to stop it. The situations and troubles we face, Brother William, ain't going to stop it. This is going to happen. God's going to get revenge on that wicked crowd that's been whooping up on His children. Can I say that's a blessed promise to put confidence in? What can you do when the wicked raise up and they cuss us, they make it hard on us, they snicker at us, they laugh at us? Come on. What can the righteous do when the wicked bend their bow and pull it out and put their sights on our back? David said, I'm just going to trust that the Lord one day, they're going to get what's coming to them. Every Satan worshiper, every atheist, every drunkard, every heathen, every person ever come to church and sat there and mocked the man of God and mocked God's people, David said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to sit back and rest and rely and run to the promise. God's going to get them one day. Can you imagine what I wish I had? If I get too worked up, it's all going to come out on Brother Jerry. And that ain't kind. Watch it now. Don't let me not scream and make you fall asleep. Watch it. What a day it's going to be when we stand around the great white throne judgment as witnesses looking on. Now, listen, I don't take no joy. I don't take no joy in sinners dying and going to hell.
No, sir.
But what this world and its system and the people of the world system stand for, it's going to be a good day when God deals with all that. I pray get saved. I pray get saved. And y'all don't get, some of y'all is going to get burred up and you just got to hang with me, choke it down. But I pray President Obama gets saved. He's not a Christian. He needs to get born again.
Yes.
And what he stands for, so opposing to God's children, those that are righteous, those that are saved, and those that love old time religion. He's so opposed to it, it's going to be a good day. If he ain't going to get saved, I pray he does. If he ain't going to get saved, it'll be a good day when God puts him in hell.
Yes,
you choke that down and listen to me. It was a good day. Listen to me. It was a good day when God let Hitler die and go to hell. Everybody okay? You got to choke that down a little bit because it sounds like you're being mean. I ain't trying to be mean. But they're so opposed and make things so hard on God's people. David said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to rest in the fact one of these days they're going to die and God's going to thrust them into fire and brimstone. Amen. The Al Sharptons of this world. The Sodomites of this world. Amen. Their day is coming. David said, I'm putting my trust in the Lord, in His promise, and then trust in the passion. Lord, verse 7, I'm done. Notice what he said, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. You know what David said? He said, I know God loves me. The world don't love me. They ain't ever going to love me. The wicked don't love me. They're getting ready to shoot me with a bow and arrow. They're getting ready to fling one into my heart and try and do me in and kill me. But Joe, you know what David's saying? The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. And then he talks about he beholds the upright. He's watching them. David is saying the Lord loves His children. Can I say tonight, church, man, I wish I had the strength to preach this. But Joe, he's saying, remember the Lord loves you. Betty, the Lord loves you. I ain't trying to stir up no controversy. Dan may not always love you like he ought to, but the Lord does. But Tony, your boy loves you. He probably don't love you like he ought to love you, but the Lord does. Brother Tim, your boy don't love you. He don't show you that he loves you like he ought to, but thank God the Lord does.
Yeah,
man, that's something, Brother Mark, you can take to the bank. David said, the righteous Lord, He loves righteousness. That crowd that is saved and that'll do right, they can put their trust in the fact that the Lord loves them and is watching them and that He's invested in their life. You say, I don't know if anybody loves you. There's one in heaven loves you. Yeah, man, your preacher may not love you like he ought to love you, and he may not show it like he ought to show it, and the church may not show it like they ought to show it, but thank God, the Lord does love you. You say, oh, I just feel so discouraged and depressed. I'm wondering, does anybody care? David said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have faith to believe and trust that the Lord loves me. I believe it or not. Now, Gerald, I think I'm a pretty lovable person. Don't you think so? Friendly. No, we not talk about that. I got to find somebody else. Gerald. Ain't I pretty lovable fella? Amen. Believe it or not, I got some enemies. I got people, if I was on fire, they wouldn't stop. I mean, they wouldn't stop and pour a glass of water on me. And I mean, I try to be easy to get along with. There's some people out there hate my guts, made up all sorts of stories. And Brother Chris, sometimes they've said things or wrote things or posted things on the internet that really, I think, man, I don't deserve to be hated like that. Y'all ever been there? Well, if y'all ain't, praise the Lord, you pray for me. But you know what I've had to learn to do is go home, pillar my head at night, say, they may not love me, but He does. He does. And it don't really matter what they think. Their day's coming. God's got the record book, and what a day it'll be when God opens it up and sets it straight. But until then, I'm going to put trust and faith that no matter what, the Lord loves me. David wasn't perfect. God didn't love him because David was perfect. He loved him because he is His own. Amen. My children, they're mine. There's nothing my children can do that would cause me to not love them. I might get frustrated. I might want to pull my hair out sometimes when they don't do right. But there's something on the inside, Brother Jerry, and a father that says, I love them not because they're perfect, but because they're mine. Thank God He don't love us because we're doing right or because we're perfect and got all of our ducks in a row. Sissy, He just loves us because we're His own. He'll never love me no more. And He'll never love me no less. I'm His own. David said, I can trust in that. What can the righteous do? What are you going to do? Can I say, if you ain't careful, you'll wind up fleeing. You say it's too much. That old time religion is just too much stress, too much heat, too much pressure. And you'll wind up fleeing. And they're doing it. They're doing it through the years of Calvary's history. There's been some sat here and shouted it out, but then the heat got turned up and now they off somewhere else. And I'm not saying everybody that leaves is a bad person. When the heat gets up, man, it's just a human tendency. I want to get out of this. David said, I'm not fleeing it. I'm going to trust the Lord. Amen. You can sit there and worry and fear every day of your life. What am I going to do? How am I going to make it? That ain't no way to live. Amen. You live that way long enough, sooner or later, they got them little jackets you'll be getting put into. You go out of your mind. David said, I'm not going to sit around fearing. He said, I ain't going to sit around forgetting who He is. I'm going to trust in Him. I'm going to trust in Him. Father, help us. Lord, we do look around. We see a lot of foundations crumbling. Lord, corruption, doctrinally, morally, spiritually, domestically. Lord, on every hand, Lord, there's so many problems. And Lord, we hear the news and Lord, we see it with our own eyes. And Lord, be honest, some days it just gets a little discouraging. Lord, we can't change it. We can't stop it. Lord, these things have got to come to pass. We understand that. But Lord, help us to do right. And help us to trust You. Help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to stay in the fight and in the battle. Lord, don't give up any ground till the last trump sounds. Father, we need Your help. Lord, tonight, as best we know, we cast our care upon You, put our faith in You. We flee to You tonight. We hide ourselves in You tonight. You are Lord. Your position's above all. Lord, You do love us, and Lord, You got a deep passion, Lord, for those that are Your own. Lord, You've given us a promise that You're going to deal with this ungodly world, and You're going to fix everything that, Lord, has been broken. And Lord, You're going to make every wrong made right. Father, we rest tonight and trust in Your plan. that you are in control, and that, Lord, you're working all these things together for the good of those that love God. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.